It might explain what God's doing in His church. This has been a very unusual experience here. Harvey and I went through the river. We went through the river move in Toronto. We were living over in Flint. We had the holy laughter. We had the visitations of God that were so powerful you could smell the fragrance of the Lord. We had the experiences where the Lord came in a purple mist. You could literally see. And we would move into that mist. And as it moved, we moved. And we got all these people that are just walking around, staying in this purple mist. We had a smell so strong that you'd breathe in the fragrance and it would literally make you staggering drunk. We had the manifest presence of God with the purpose of the Father's love, where He wanted to heal our hearts because we're so wounded throughout our life and our abuse in this society. We don't know how to love God or know God or trust God or be ourselves and be free. God created us in His image with a purpose, but if we can't get free and find out who we really are, we can never live our purpose. If we're full of woundedness and we haven't been fathered or mothered properly, we have missing gaps in our spirit that have to be fixed, have to be fathered, have to be mothered, have to be healed. A healthy, well-loved child is full of confidence and life and love, not fear and intimidation. So that parenting has to be a part of our foundation. The river of God brought this love of the Father to overwhelm us and to love us and heal us. Some of us are still in the river. Some of us are still going through phases of that, and that is wonderful. It's always available. It's always there. And as you need it, God will give it to you. But it is also possible, like God recently kicked me off that blanket that I used to get on with the daddy, God. He kicked me off and said, you're going to walk into more maturity now. It's time to live an adult spiritual life and go places with Christ as His mate, that you're not going to sit on that inner healing blanket with your daddy all the time anymore. It's time to grow up. And sometimes as God is growing us up, we may not be experiencing the manifest presence of Him all the time. So that's what I want to point out. How, first of all, did the disciples get invited to this particular move of God? How did they get invited? Harvey's read the whole chapter 1. I'm not going to read every bit because I want to bring out the highlights I've seen. So if you look, Acts 1, verse 3, we'll see that this is the disciples are gathered together, the followers of Christ. Verse 3, it says, to whom also He, Jesus, showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. To whom He showed Himself. Do you want Jesus to show Himself to you? Do you want to get invited to this group that's waiting for this new thing God's going to do? Because He came to do something new. They didn't even know what it was going to be. But they had already made a choice. These were the ones who had already laid their life down and chosen to follow Him, no matter what the cost. And they knew the cost. It wasn't just for the party, just for the fun, and just for the healing. They saw Christ crucified. They saw Him stripped of His glory and nailed to the cross and tormented. They saw the persecution come against Christians who would say they were His follower, and they still chose to show up. They still said, we want Him. We will follow Him. We have laid down our life. We have lost our life that we might find it. You know, you don't know who you are or what you're created for until you lose your life. He that loses his life shall find it. You're living this shallow, carnal life, reaching for things you think make you happy. But when you finally lay that down, you find your real self as you were created in the image of God, the spiritual you that lives forever, that has an eternal purpose and an eternal personality that's just like God. And when you get free to become that person, you really find your life. You find who you are, what you were meant to do. What's okay? You're okay. You know what? You are okay. And you aren't free. We're not free. We try to act, we're like lemmings or dodo birds, you know. What did we watch? Ice Age. The dodo birds, you know, one jumps off the cliff, they all jump right off the cliff. They don't know what they're doing. We're not dodo birds. We're not lemmings. We're individuals, and we have to follow Christ where he leads us.
Yes.
Not just follow the crowd.
Right.
Not just follow what Christianity says is what he wants. You know, he causes every Christian at some time to stand on their own two feet and say, I can't find anyone who agrees with me in this, but I know God said it.
Right.
And you have to stand on that.
Exactly.
He showed himself after his passion. The passion means the crucifixion. The passion of Christ was to die for our sin. He came to die. He came to lay his life down a sacrifice. That was his passion. What is your passion? What if he won't show himself to you until after your passion? What is your passion? Is he your passion?
Yes.
Has your life been laid down? Have you crucified the things of this world? Perhaps you won't really see him until after he sees your passion. By many infallible proofs, infallible proofs. A lot of people today, they're running around. I know there's weird things happening. Weird things are happening here. And if I came in here 10 years ago, I'd probably been back out that door so fast. Because I grew up with parents that worked in a mental hospital. And I saw insanity every day of my life and what led people to it. And I determined I would keep control of my mind. I'm not going to be a drug addict. I'm not going to be a drunk. I'm not going to be a wacko. I am going to keep my mind on truth and on the straight, safe path. I'm not going to end up in a mental hospital like I saw all these people. I was not open to the things of the Spirit because it looked too weird. I saw people shaking and shouting and falling, and I said, I don't think God would act like that. I can't see any reason for it. It's not logical. Why would he do it? It doesn't make sense. Until I opened myself up and said, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what anybody thinks. I have to get into the heart of God.
Amen.
I want to go up that mountain Moses went. I want to stand in the face of that burning fire and hear God's voice. I don't care if it kills me.
Amen.
I don't care if it kills me. I am going into the presence of God.
Amen.
And I got desperate for it. I got hungry for it.
Yes.
And I stopped caring what anybody else thought about me.
Yes.
I just wanted God. I was consumed with hunger for him. If you're not consumed with hunger for him, this works. Make me hungry, I invite you. You will get hungry. This is your spirit. Some things we think in our head, some things we feel with our emotions. But when it's coming from down in your gut and you know that you know, it's your spirit.
Yes.
Put your hand on your spirit every night you go to bed and say, God, I'm not hungry enough. Make me hungry.
Amen.
Make me more hungry. Because after you get hungry, he fills you.
That's right.
And then you get hungrier, and he fills
That's
you.
That's right.
And he fills you, and you get hungry, and he fills you. You got a mate that doesn't care about God? Sneak it up on them while they're sleeping. Make them hungry. He'll do it.
Yes.
He'll do it. He'll make
yes.
them hungry.
Yes.
I've seen people do that at work.
Amen.
God only wants honesty. He says, he desires truth in the hidden parts, and in the inward parts, he will make you to know wisdom.
Yes.
Just be honest with him
yes.
where you're at.
Yes.
I'm not passionate. I'm not desperate. I'd rather watch TV than pray. I am not hungry for your presence, God, but I want to be.
Yes.
Make me there. Take me there.
Yes.
Get me out of this rut that I'm in of complacency. You know, some of you have had promises from God, but you've let them go. You let go of them. Because you waited so long, you stopped thinking, it's on the shelf someday, 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 someday. We've been in a someday mode so long, when it is time, we won't believe it anymore.
Right.
Well, God's getting ready to do things again, and we need some right now faith again.
Amen.
For what he says he's doing right now.
Yes.
Let me clarify, faith is believing what God said he's going to do.
Right.
Not what you wish he would do.
Right.
Not what you want him to do.
Right.
I have put all my faith toward what I wanted him to do and looked like a fool because he didn't do it. And I've held back from what he said he would do because I was scared to believe him. I will never forget because we lost the opportunity. Let me remind you. This is for someone here today. And if you don't claim it, you might lose it, and God might give it to someone else. Harvey and I went to church, and we weren't in a free church like this. And we saw a man who had a humpback, and he was just very disfigured. And after we went home, I said to Harvey, I had the thought that if I would go over and touch that man's back, God would heal him. But I wasn't sure he'd do it, and I didn't want to look stupid, so I didn't. And he said, I had the same thought, and I didn't do it either. To my knowledge, the man still has a humpback, and I don't know where he is. But even if I knew, and he walked in the door today, doesn't mean God would heal him.
Right.
When God gives you something to move on, it's a now thing.
Right.
Do it now, or you
right.
may forever lose the opportunity.
Right.
Don't mess with him. God is doing it, and if you won't let him do it through you, he'll just do it through someone else. Or you'll stand in heaven one day in front of a humpback and say, I am so sorry. God chose me to heal you, and I wouldn't do it. I'm sorry I let you down because I didn't obey God. Don't lose our chances.
Amen.
Infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. Jesus proved himself to these men. With many infallible proofs. He loves to do that. He isn't looking for a bunch of deceived, flaky people running around doing anything they feel like, believing God will back it up, and just being weird and wacky and deceived and getting into demons and weird stuff. He's not into that. When God gives you a promise, he will prove it.
Right.
He will prove it. The day of testing, your faith will come, but first he will prove that it's him. He will give you confirmation, maybe through the Word, usually through the Word.
Right.
He will give you confirmation through prophets speaking over you, something that confirms what God already told you. He will give you confirmations and proofs until you're able to say, I know God promised me this. I know God said he would do this in my life. I know God said this. That will come. He wants to give you proof. Ask him. If you have any doubt about it, ask him. God, I think you're telling me this, but I'm not really sure. Would you prove it? Would you really give me the faith to know that it's you? One day God promised us a house. We were renting it. And God said that he was going to give us that house to live in for the rest of our life. I said, I want to see it in your word. He turned me to a section of his word that said, when he gave his word to someone, that the glory, the cloud of glory, came down and rested on the land. And I looked out my window and said, I don't see any clouds. And I went back to reading, and a couple minutes later, the Lord said, look out the window. And I looked up, and the yard was filled with the clouds, filled with the fog of a cloud. He confirmed it. I had a friend who said, God did not say he's going to give you that house, and I'm afraid that when you lose it, you're not going to believe God, and your faith is going to be ruined. And I'm on my way to our house, and I said, I was praying about the house, and God said, ask me to turn her heart and to show it to her. She was my biggest opposer that God didn't say it. I said, God, if this is you talking to me, then turn her heart and show it to her. When I arrived at her house, she met me at the door with the Bible and said, God showed me he's giving you that house. He's going to do it. And he showed her a verse to tell me he's doing it. God proved it again and again. And he gave me scriptures. And he told me, I'm going to give you that house. And you're never going to move again. And he also told me, because it was a nice house. You might think this is a nice house, but there will come a day you could afford a better one. And I still want you to take this one. Well, you know what? Today's the day I could afford a better one. I'm in a better one. But if that one comes available, I'm moving. Because that is my promise house.
Amen.
I told my kids, God promised me that house, and I will live in it. And if I'm not living in it when I die, then I guess that's the one I'm going to live in for the 1,000-year millennial reign on earth after we come back. Because I will live in that house. We didn't have any money. We got kicked out of that house. We got evicted. First it burnt down, and then they rebuilt it. Then we got evicted because we couldn't pay for it. I'm still believing my house my house. I'm going to live in that house. You see, God made me believe it with the proof. Then the test comes against it. Then all the test comes against your faith and says, going to believe what you see or what God said?
Right.
Going to believe what's happening or what God said?
Right.
He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you through this child. And then he said, go kill the child. Abraham said, well, guess God will raise him from the dead. He's ready to kill him. God stopped him. It doesn't matter what you see with your eyes.
Right.
You believe it because God proved it with him and you never let it go.
Right.
This is what he did. He showed himself and he proved to these men that it was him and that every word he was going to speak was true, and he proved it to them. And then, after that, he gave him a promise. Well, we're getting there. Well, his 40 days was part of the proving. They spent time in his manifest presence for 40 days as he told them things. And then he made him a promise in verse 5. And he said, John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And in verse 8 again, he said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you think you're called to be an evangelist and to be a witness for Jesus? No, I'm put my hand down. How many of you think you're supposed to go all over the whole entire world and preach? Maybe a couple. So why, when we read this chapter, do we think we get the same promise they do? Only two people in this room think that's for them. Because they didn't quicken it to me. I don't want to be an evangelist. I don't want to travel the world and preach. And he didn't tell me that I'm going to. See, he called them and he gave them a promise. That's their promise. Do you have a promise? Personalized to you. Has God told you what he's going to do in your life? This church, God has told us some things he's going to do here. He has very specifically, over the course of our life, told us a lot of things he's going to do here. Oh, I can't look through here. It makes me want to preach everything. But I'm going to give you just a couple of ideas. We are going to train ministers here. Not just ministers, but end time ministers. For the biggest outreach of God to win the lost and transform his people before the end of all time.
Yeah.
We're going to train ministers for that. We're going to train prophets for that, evangelists for that. This is an evangelistic training center. That's what this place has been called to do. He's already promised us that. We are going to see hundreds of millions saved come to the Lord through this ministry.
Right.
They're not going to fit in this room, of course, but we're going to send ministers out there to find them and win them. We might get a bigger building, too. God has promised us that this ministry is a womb of heaven full of things God wants to birth.
Amen.
Birthing, not reviving, no. Birthing new things we don't
Amen.
Even know about yet.
Amen.
God has told us that we're going to see miracles of healing, physical healing, and youth renewal.
Amen.
He has told me that. He has proven that to me. We're going to see people become 20 years old again.
Right.
I personally have the promise that I am going to minister that to people.
Yes.
I am going to see people become 20 years old again.
Right.
God has told me I'm a minister, and I'm going to minister that. He's going to give me that anointing.
Right.
I can't wait. I was about 42 when he said it, and the thought came because it was so real, so, so real. And I read this the other day, side note. When a prophet ate a scroll, they had a vision in heaven. God didn't just give them a scroll. He made them eat it. And in the eating of the scroll, they became the prophecy. They became it. While I was in an upper room of a church, I've never had a more powerful encounter with God in all my life. And he came upon me and he said, will you eat what I give you? And I physically felt myself stretched. I thought I was like Rubber Man, you know, covering that room, laying on the floor. And it was like my mouth stretched so big, it was like bigger than a head. And God said, this is what I'm feeding you. Youth renewal. You will see the old become young. Now, I was still a pretty skeptical Baptist at the time. And I said, that is wonderful, but I don't see it in your word. And he showed me in his word the story of the eagle. Eagles become old. Their feathers molt and fall off, and their beak even falls off, and they can't hear anymore, and they can't see so well. And they go up into a hidden place, and other eagles minister to them, and they grow new feathers and a new beak, and they become young. They get a second youth. And then he showed me the story of Sarah. You know, Sarah was 90 when she gave birth. He had to make her young again.
Right.
Do you know Sarah was 90 when Abraham traveled through a city and the men lusted after her beauty and he had to lie because he's afraid they'd kill him to get her? How many beautiful 90-year-olds have you seen? She was young again. God began to show me all these verses about people being made young. He said, I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again.
Yep.
Now, I can't pray over you this morning, or me, you know, 20, 20, 20, just obviously isn't working. At the time I was about 42 when God said it, I had the thought, what if you have to wait till you're 60 before it happens? And I went, oh no, I don't want to be 60. Guess what I am? 57, not long. I don't know if I'm waiting to 60, I can't say that. But I'm 57, that wouldn't be such a long wait anymore. It's going to happen. We are going to see the time in history where the last enemy that is destroyed is death.
Yes.
We're going to see it. Because you know what? It doesn't just happen one day that he appears in the cloud with the shout of a trumpet and the dead wake up. That enemy had to be destroyed first. Something led up to the destruction of death so that he could shout and the graves would open. We are going to have the unveiled mysteries from heaven of how to defeat death, how to defeat aging in our body, how to defeat everything the enemy has done to us so that the resurrection can happen.
Right.
We're going to see those things. Those mysteries are going to unveil in this ministry.
Yes.
God said we're going to preach a powerful message of repentance here. People are going to burn. And like that song said, he don't just want to burn your flesh a little bit. He wants to consume the carnality.
Amen.
He wants to burn away all that is not of God. We're going to see the fiery messages of repentance come from this ministry. Unity, being accord, being in one accord in one place with a foundation of leadership that will give God His way. Anything He wants, whether
Amen.
We like it or not.
Amen.
God is going to get to rule His church.
Amen.
He's going
to
do it here.
Give it back to you, Lord.
God told us we're going to have 5 watchmen. We don't have one. We lost all our watchmen. They all quit and went somewhere. You know, would not believe how many people come through the doors of our church and keep on going. And it's fine. They're still our friends.
Right.
They don't belong here.
Right.
This is not what they're called to. This
right.
is not where they were told to wait.
Right.
God's doing something else. Maybe He's teaching them how to raise their kids or how to have a better marriage or how to go out and start a food pantry and feed. Because we're told to do all those things. And they're good. They're wonderful. But those who are called to this, your heart will get on fire when you hear these things and you'll know this is where you belong.
Right.
If your heart doesn't get on fire with these things, saying, God bless you, go somewhere that sets you on fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, our watchmen all left except Janiah, and she's been taken off the post until she delivers her baby. She's not allowed to deal in the demonic realm right now. So we basically don't have any watchmen except me, and that's because I'm a temporary stand-in. See, God will take the leaders and anoint them to be temporary stand-ins. You know what else you don't really have here? You don't really have a pastor. We're temporarily anointed to pastor you until the pastors rise up and take placement.
Yes.
We're just temporarily anointed to cover everything until God begins to place the ministers. We don't even believe in one pastor. We believe in lots of pastors so that all of you get a personal pastor who will care about your life, not one to be shared with 2,000 others.
You know what? I can't hardly wait.
Go back in your chair. My turn.
You know what? I can't hardly wait. I can't hardly wait to
but
see
I love that
you.
That's so pretty.
I love you. I can't hardly wait to see you get released into what God created you to be. I am so free everywhere I go, I just get to be me. And I am so looking forward to you getting free, because God's going to raise up a pastor among you. God's going to raise up
many watchmen
among you. God is going to raise up prophets among you. God's going to raise up evangelists. Everybody that comes here, I don't know if you noticed, but everybody that comes here is ministry minded.
That's right.
And the people that, if you've ever been in any of our five churches, the only people that stick with us are people that love Jesus and are sold out, not mamby-pamby little play, little wear, little name tag Christians, but they're sold out, love God, want God, hungry for God, ministry-minded, caring about others, not just looking for a little bless me club, but letting God come live through them. Those are the ones that stick with us, and those are people that are called to ministry, and those are who He's called us to minister to, is people that are called to ministry, not to make this some big mega thing, but to set you free, develop you, help you find out, get you full of God, and then release you to whatever it is He's got for you.
And the next one is plant other churches, other little start, other fires, other burning bushes, other fires of God's presence. And that's why you need many pastors. We're not going to try to bring 5,000 people under one roof.
Amen.
We're not going to try to, however, one day it's going to happen. But it's not going to be because they're pastored there. They're going to come together there for meetings and worship and messages, individually pastored in smaller groups where they can really have the attention they need. And like Harvey said, most people that don't want to be a minister won't hang around here very long.
No.
Because we preach to ministers.
Yes.
And that's who gets something out of it. People are going to come from all over the world to be trained here one day.
Yes.
That's been prophesied. Yes. These are not just our desires. These are the words God has promised us over the years, has confirmed through the Scripture, has confirmed through people prophesying over us, has repeatedly promised us these things.
Yes.
You're going to be hearing them a lot, because it's time we stand up and proclaim what God wants to do in this place,
Amen.
So we can pray into it and begin to grab hold of it. God showed us a vision one time that we're going to be ministering, and I'm pretty sure it couldn't happen in this building, but the presence and power of God is going to be so overpowering. We're going to be in a time of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember when they walked in the church and they lied to God? They lied about the land they sold, and they fell dead. Because when the presence of God gets more and more and more manifest, it's dangerous to stand there with unrepented of, held on to sin. I don't want to scare you, because we're all sinners, and He knows we are but dust. And His mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
And if we are faithful and just to confess our sin, He forgives them quickly, and He doesn't hang on to them.
Right.
I'm talking about sin you're hanging on to, keeping behind your back, saying, I'm not doing anything wrong. You're not going to stand in the presence of God without falling dead when His man... You know, God is so merciful, He doesn't come in that kind of power, because we'd all be dead right now.
Right.
We're not ready for that.
Right.
We're not ready for it. We're hanging on to all kinds of things that would kill us. But He's going to burn. Our hands are going to get so hot, we're going to have to let go or get out. We saw that that kind of presence will be present in the building, and that there will be cars lined up like Disney World. We'll have to have our own driveways. And the radios in the cars will tune in to the church station, and the people will wait in their cars for hours trying to get up to the building for their turn to come in. And on those radios will be messages of repentance, and the fiery repentance and purging fires of God that will prepare them so that by the time they get to the building, they will have repented enough to be able to walk into His presence dying over it.
Right.
I couldn't walk in that building right now.
No.
Up in smoke. I got all kinds of stuff He needs to burn off my life. And He's shown me a wall of fire right in front of me that I am entering in right now for that purging and refining. On our pictures, these are the three moves God is doing in this work right now. And the first one is weeping blood as He looks and says, let my people go. Out of religion, the stained glass of religion, tradition, formality, religious, man's ways. God is saying, let my people go.
Amen.
Let them go. Get your religious hands off them and let them come to me for real relationship.
Whoa.
This church is moving into the second picture. Because we're not religious here. I mean, we're at least willing not to be. We're moving into the second picture that starts with that sword, which is the Word of God, powerful as a two-edged sword that divides asunder the soul from the spirit. And it's burning with the fires of purging, separating, threshing floor, separating God's people, purging away the sin. That's where we're at. If you want to know what the horns are, you can go read the words underneath. I'll tell you. Because that's not today's sermon. I took a turn to tell you some of the promises here because you need to know if you belong here. You need to know. Many have come and gone that didn't belong here. Many have come here and said, we want more excitement. And there's too many days that we're just standing around doing nothing. We're waiting on God. And if God doesn't move, we're not moving. And if we come in here and stand there for 3 hours and don't talk and don't pray and don't sing and don't preach, it's because God didn't say anything and we're waiting. Right. So if that bores you, you can leave. And I've left. I've left when he's preaching, haven't I? Lots of times. I usually leave church before half the people because I'm free. And once I get what God's got for me, one time the fire of God's burning, he's preaching, people are falling and the Spirit is there. And the Lord says to me, you and your daughter need a break. I mean, we had church that went from 10 in the morning and they were stepped over bodies and went to bed. It was in our house. Somehow they were gone when we woke up in the morning. This went on every day of the week for a few years, 4 years. God said, you and your daughter need a break. Go get some ice cream. So I go and get her and I said, come on, we're going out for ice cream. A little while, people are going, where's Sue? Where's Janaya? He says, I don't know. We come back in. We went out for ice cream. Right in the middle of his sermon? Yep. That's freedom.
Amen.
If the Spirit is moving and you stay there and hear what he's saying, if you're in his presence and worshiping, hang around and worship. If you're worshiping and we start preaching, stay where you're at. You don't have to come sit down.
Right.
You have the liberty. You can go back in the cafeteria and drink coffee if you need a break. You can get in your car and go get a burger. Come back later. You can go home if you've had enough. Come and go. Stand and sit. Lay on the floor. Do what you want to do. Please don't be religious. Don't be a lemming.
Amen.
So, oh, he proved himself. Oh, please do.
Let's go.
Freedom! Drink some for me.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Somebody set them all free.
And here comes verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Isn't it fun when he's here? Isn't it fun when we feel him? Isn't it fun when we see what he's doing? When the singing and the dancing and the touching and the weeping, isn't it fun? But then after he gives you your promises and he confirms them, taken up out of your sight. Now it's time to test your faith. Now they can't see him anymore. Now they don't feel him anymore. Now they can't run right there and get a verbal word. Now they have to hold on to what he said and go through the trial, go through the testing. It's not always going to be fun. And we have church hopping fun party seekers today.
Right.
You know what? I wouldn't sit in a boring church. I can't do it anymore. I go to church and sit down, and if God's not there, we have a saying, if God's not here, we're going bowling.
That's right.
If God's not here, why do I have to be?
That's right.
I sit down in a boring church, I'm getting nothing. I'm like, you know, wait till he looks that way and run out the door. But I'm not talking about that kind of boring. I'm talking about God has placed you, and you know where he placed you, and that's where you are. Now, if nothing's happening, your faith is being tested.
Right.
If God doesn't show up and do something this morning, are you going to cover for him? Are you going to fill in for him because it's not fun? No, you're going to wait. We're going to wait.
Yes.
We're going to wait.
Yes.
And you wouldn't believe the days that Harvey and I plead with the Lord. You haven't given us anything. People are going to be sitting out there looking at us, expecting us to do something, and you haven't given us anything. And he says, nothing. Nothing. You go, but people are going to leave. He says, well, there's some of them I'd like to see go. Let's outweigh them until they do. But those that I plant will stay. Those that I plant will stay. And you know what? One of our best friends, Joy Bassett, she was here with us. She tried really hard to belong here. She tried so hard to belong here. Yep. But this isn't what God's doing in her life.
Right.
And she was bored. She was discontent. She said, we need to do this and we need to do that. We said, God's not doing that. But that's what I see Him doing. Then you have to go do it. She finally did. She finally said, I have to go do what He's telling me to do. We said, go do it, Joy.
Right.
I meet her every week, have coffee with her. We share things. She can't come here anymore.
Right.
It's not where He placed her. You see, we got to let people go when God says let them go.
Amen.
There's people that would be placed here and trained. And how many of you tried to leave a church where the pastor just says, like, you're divorcing your family, you're quitting on God, you're breaking my heart. Oh, come on, let your children grow up.
Yeah.
Let them grow up. Do your children still live at home when you're 50? I hope not. Well, mine does, but that's different. I love you. I want you there.
Well,
not meaning you.
It's okay right now for you.
When they have an emergency, in emergency situations, they come home for a while. When they have a dire need, that's okay. No, I'm not saying they can't live there when they're in need. Our daughter's in need. She's in our basement apartment right now. We don't even have a date. But I'm saying when your kids are ready to leave. I had a friend whose mother was like, I gave you birth, carried you under my heart, and now you just want to leave me alone, and I have no one, and I'm lonely. Pastors do that to their members. Be proud of them when they move on.
Yeah.
Be proud that they're healthy enough to go and do what God wants.
Help them go. Help them to go.
Let them go. Help them go. Bless them in the going.
Yeah.
Pay for the bus ticket.
Yeah. Right.
And keep in good fellowship. We've been disowned by more pastors when God told us to move on, and they no longer want to fellowship with us because we left them. You know, that's just sad.
Yeah.
I'm glad my mother didn't treat me that way.
Yeah.
This is where faith begins when we don't feel. Faith begins when you don't feel, you don't see, your thoughts get confused, doubts begin to attack. You're begging Him to show Himself and He doesn't. That's where faith is tested.
Right.
That's why you need to write it down.
Right.
And you look at it and go, on this side of the paper is what the devil is saying to me, but on this side is what God said. Now I get to choose. Do I believe this? Do I believe this? I feel this. I feel this. I see this. But God said this. This is truth.
I believe it.
I choose to believe it,
no matter what I see.
Any adult minister is going to go through that.
Yeah.
And probably a lot. A lot. So in verse 9, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Often He sends angels with messages instead of appearing Himself. Which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? Why are you standing here staring at what God did? We need to see what He is doing.
Yeah.
We need to move into what He said to do.
Yeah.
Don't keep staring at the river saying, I sure wish I could splash in the river some more. I sure wish I could have that fun feeling today. Why won't God come play with me? Don't keep staring at what He did. It's wonderful.
Right.
Let it become part of you. But move on to what He told you to do. You have an instruction. You have a command. They had a command to stay there. He told them, you stay in Jerusalem until the power comes. He told them what they were waiting for, and He told them where to wait. You know what? Some people picture them in that upper room day and night praying. He didn't tell them to stay in the upper room.
Right.
He told them to stay in Jerusalem. They had a whole city to stay in. They weren't confined to a room. They had the whole town.
Right.
Where did God place you? Where did He plant you to live?
Yeah.
Where did he plant you to go to church? What did he promise you? Has he convinced you? Has he proven himself? Well, if you're in a testing time, go back. Go back and find those promises. The time you prove your faith to God is when you don't feel him. The time you prove yourself to God is when the circumstances look awful and you say, like Job, I hate my life. Why did I have to be born? I hate that I'm living. I wish I could just die and go to heaven. I don't want this life. But I know that God is faithful.
Yes.
I know I can trust him.
Yes.
I know what he said is true. And I believe it, even though I may not want to get out of bed today. Even though all I have to get up for is to do dishes. All I have to get up for is to go to work and punch the time clock. I don't know when he's going to keep his word, but I know that he will. I choose to believe it.
Yeah.
Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brethren. These people came together waiting on God in one accord in prayer and supplication. What do we do while we wait? We pray.
Yes.
We're not all on the same page of what God is saying he wants you to do. He may be training you to be a prophet, training you to be a pastor, training you to work the nursery, asking you to clean the church. You know, I have found more spiritual janitors than I have pastors, to be honest.
Whoa.
Honestly. We've gone in churches, and I have sat there and said, God, where are you? Who is really walking with you here? And more times than not, I find it in the one who's humble enough to clean the toilet. Before I find it in the one who gets to preach or sing.
Exactly.
And it shouldn't be so, but those who are really busy sometimes forget time with God. Those who are really public sometimes get the eyes on themselves.
Yep.
Those who are doing the humble job often are just walking with the Lord and being obedient.
Amen.
So, it's different individually what God can multitask. He's shown me some hopscotch squares where one person has happened once, twice, and then every person has a different hopscotch square. So he could be doing multitudes of things. So what is our unity? The unity is one heart that says, whatever you want, God, whatever you want.
Yes.
Forget my pride, forget my fear, forget my want, how I would like church to go and look, whatever you want, God.
Yes.
That's the unity. And in prayer, in prayer, God reveals, he reveals some things to them. He reveals some things they needed to change, needed to repent of, needed to perfect. Healings that they needed in their hearts. These are the things he did in them as they waited. As they waited. They chose a minister to replace Judah. Does that mean we should start choosing ministers? No. Is the Holy Spirit going to come down and endue us with power? I hope so. But that wasn't on my promise list, was it? He's going to do the things he promised this church. And through prayer, we'll find out how to walk into that. In prayer, we'll find how to wait on that. In prayer, we'll see what God's up to. Wednesday night, we meet with just a few of us. Anybody can come. But it's a time that we come together in prayer and say, God, what do you want to do here in this church? God, we want to appoint you as time to stand before you and say, what do you want to do here in this church? Please show us. Well, this is just the prelude to telling you Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you what he revealed. One simple thing. And Harvey's going to preach it maybe next time we come together. He doesn't quite have it ready. God said, I want the children to forgive their parents because the children are hurt and bitter. And bitter people can't get close to the heart of God. Bitterness is a wall of separation. And you know what children he's talking about? 1 year